Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay only for what you use. Ting doesn't require a contract and offers unlimited devices on one shared plan. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit hamnation.ting.com. That's hamnation.ting.com. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 133 for February 5th, 2014. The 2014 Dayton Hamvention Award winners.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, it's me, K9EID. My parole officer let me off tonight. I'm here. I've been all over and having a lot of fun, but working hard because we've been on duty, so to speak. I did get to go to Costa Mesa, though. Hey, Gordo, it was good to see you and Susan. Everything okay down there now?
Everything is just great. It's a little chilly here, so I had to wrap up while the rest of the country is bathing in 20 and 10-degree weather. I guess it's like 60 here, but it's still cold for us. And it was sure great to see you and Sarah, Bob. Go ahead.
We had a good time. What a fabulous Mexican restaurant we went to. Wow, that was great. Well, I have on my heavy sweater, and I don't have this for looks, man. It's cold here, and it's snowy. But, oh, well, we'll make it through. That's why we're in the Midwest. We understand that. And let's see, who else is on here tonight? First of all, before we get too far away, we've got special guests, so I think we ought to bring them in right now. This is a very special time. We have the Hamvention, that's Dayton Hamvention, Awards Committee. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bob, Gordo, and Don. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah, we're glad that you're here. I hear you have some very good news for us, so let's just jump right into what's going on and all the planning and things that happen. I know this is a yearly event. I'm talking about the planning. A lot of people don't realize what kind of work you guys and gals go through, but let's hear your special announcement tonight. So the microphone and camera's all yours.
Okay, well, welcome to Ham Nation and all the viewers. I'm Dave Crawford. I am the awards chairman, and I'm going to turn it right over to Charles Kaiser, KD8JZR, and he's going to give the first announcement.
Thank you, David. Good evening, everyone. It is my pleasure to announce the Hamvention 2014 Amateur of the Year, Dr. Larry E. Price, W4RA. Dr. Price has greatly impacted all of amateur radio. Some of his noteworthy achievements: eliminating of the Moore's requirement, protection of existing frequency allocations, expansion of the 40-meter amateur band. This is just some of the things he has done. And now to Nancy Cordell, KC8RMT, Assistant Award Committee Lady.
The 2014 Special Achievement Award winner is Dave Sumner, K1ZZ. He was responsible for the development of the International Amateur Radio Union Emergency Communications Across Borders Doctrine and Procedures. He continues in his efforts in crafting broadband.
Looks like we might have lost Skype there for a second.
Oh, goodness. Well, while we bring them up, I want to say hi to Don. Let me know when they're back online. And, hey, Don, what's going on down there? Are you cold down there?
Not nearly as cold as we were. We're at 41 tonight, so we were below 20 for a while. But, no, we're warming up, and it was kind of sunny today, so it's been nice.
Oh, wow. Well, we... Yeah.
Not wearing my heavy coat, but I do have the space heater going over here because this is a very this for some reason this little Radio Shack is very cold, so I keep my space heater going when I'm in here.
You don't have a big enough amplifier.
I don't even own an amplifier. That's my problem. One of them, anyway.
Gordo, don't you think we should rectify that to get some heater in his shack? What do you think, Gordo?
We need to rectify and get both Don and I something warm because it's cold here. And yep, the amp would be just what you need, Don. We'll amp one up for you shortly.
If I still had my old Swan 500 CX, that used to be a really good. good warmer. That would keep things warm.
Okay, just turn it on, Don. It'll be all right. Okay, guys, let's see. Nancy, you were giving some information. Go ahead, Nancy. Let's see what's got.
Okay. The 2014 Special Achievement Award winner is Dave Sumner, K1ZZ. He was responsible for the development of the International Amateur Radio Union Emergency Communications Across Borders Doctrine and Procedures. He continues in his efforts in crafting broadband over power line regulations to reduce harmful power line emissions. And here's Dave Crawford, KF4KWW, the award's chairman.
Well, it's my great pleasure to recognize the Technical Achievement Award winner, which is David Fries Jr., W1HKJ. Dave is recognized for his development and distribution free of charge of the Fast Light Digital Modem Application, or FLDigi, as we all know it. It's a family of programs used for amateur radio and emergency communications. It's a great program, I use it myself, and it's a lot of fun and easy to use. With that, I would like to turn it over to Reuben Meeks, president of the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, and Reuben's call sign, so I don't forget it, is W8GUC. Reuben?
Don, Bob, Gordo, gives me great pleasure to present to you the Club of the Year Award. The Gwinnett Amateur Radio Society, W4GR in Georgia, that's Whiskey 4 Golf Radio. The Gwinnett Amateur Radio Society has many well-rounded training programs for both old as well as the novice radio operators, with programs especially aimed at the youth. They continually host and support amateur radio events and programs. Plus, they continually support a variety of public service events such as TechFest and other great things. This award is an honored thing that we are taking pride to give to them. Thank you very much. Any questions there, gentlemen?
I think we've got it all. I really appreciate you you being here. Gordo, you know most of those guys, don't you, I'm sure?
Oh, we sure do. And to the Dayton Hamvention Committee, you've really picked the true legends of ham radio. So let's all of us hosts give the Dayton Hamvention Committee special guests and award winners a big hand. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Great job, guys. Great job.
All right. Well, thanks very much. And we'll look forward to the middle of May when we're all headed to Dayton. And, of course, it's the center of the amateur radio world for sure. And thank you for keeping it going since, 1954, Dave? Is that right?
52.
Right. Well, I was born. my first year was in 1959, so I missed a few years. But we really appreciate all of the things that you...
Please come join us here at Dayton Hamvention.
Yeah.
Have a good evening.
See you all in Dayton. Absolutely. All right. Well, Gordo, you got some neat shots. We were talking about it when we were out with you and Sue. So let's see what you got tonight for Ham Nation.
All right. Thanks, Bob. And good evening to Ham Nation viewers. Hey, we took some of your suggestions, and Cheryl is going to be looking at the chat room for you with an upcoming ham radio event this weekend or the following weekend. Now, we know this weekend's going to be busy down in Orlando. So beam us up on the chat room what you have as a large ham radio event, even a medium or small-sized one, and Cheryl, at the end of the show, will make that announcement for our listeners not able to see the chat room. And, wow, this is neat. This comes from AE7Q, and you go to AE7, Alpha Echo 7, Quebec.net, and you can print up a copy of your official FCC looking license. That's pretty neat. We've got a class we're conducting all this week down in Newport Beach to the fire department, and they'll be looking to have their license posted very shortly, as soon as they go through the test this coming Saturday. Well, let's take a look at two areas that we had a lot of comments on regarding the Consumer Electronics Show. And the first one will deal with FLIR. And FLIR is a leading company that looks to a scope to see heat-sensitive things ahead, behind, and all around us. Forward-looking infrared. Well, they now have it for your iPhone. You take their little device and put it onto the iPhone, as you see right here, and presto, your iPhone in the camera mode with a device now turns into a heat-sensitive, heat-looking device. This is from FLIR, FLIR.com. And I think, by golly, it's a great way for search and rescue folks like the Mountain Emergency Communications Service. If they have a lost hiker, they can go to the FLIR system, add it to their iPhone, and it's only about $400. And what you can't see can't hurt you. And I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, definitely can see a person there. So the FLIR system coming to your iPhone soon. And that we think is pretty darn neat. Well, this is Paul Opitz, and Paul is an avid radio operator. He is with Uniden for many years, and Paul is the one that several years ago brought in the Home Patrol Scanner, that neat one that would find itself via GPS that you would pipe into it and then come up with all the local frequencies. Well, here's more information. Paul Opitz now has the Uniden 536 HP scanner as the mobile unit and the handheld, the 436, and these scanners are able to do a myriad of modes, including analog, trunking, 3, 4, and 5, digital, APCO 25, phase 1 and 2, Motorola, X2, TDMA, EDAX, LTR, and it's loaded with a USA and Canadian radio database from Radio Reference. The neat thing about this scanner from Uniden, the Home Patrol, is if you tie it into the Uniden accessory GPS, turn it on, the scanner will say, where am I? And then it will download police, fire, and all of the calls that you want to hear. You can then select which agencies you may or may not want to hear, what type of monitoring you want. And as long as that GPS is doing its thing, the Uniden knows what's around to tune in. And if you drive across the country, it'll track all those frequencies all across the country. And on the back, every week you can tie into Radio Reference to get the very latest of new municipalities coming on the air with digital. This is a digital scanner as well as analog as well as narrowband. That's the rear of that scanner. The handheld does everything that the mobile unit does, including close call, RF sniffer, 4 gigabytes of memory with recording playback of those exciting calls. You can skip channels, add channels, keyboard entry, add channels. And again, there's a tie-in with your computer to be able to keep this unit up to date on the latest frequencies. Best of all, it's able to find those frequencies so you don't need to consult a book to load them in like we used to do back in the old days. CTCSS, same weather alert, channel volume set so one channel can be louder than another. Paul Opitz, a scanner guru from the Uniden company, says he watches Ham Nation, and he says it's going to be a great product, and they're just beginning to bring them into the country now. So Paul from Uniden, thanks for having me up at the top of Bellagio to show me these new units. Of course, they make Uniden CB radios and all sorts of other devices for the Marine Radio Service. But these two scanners, learn more. Go to www.uniden.com. Prowl around and you'll find the new Home Patrol scanners, the new design, more new features than you can shake a stick at, and you'll be listening to everything and everyone all around you. So that's what the hot news I had many questions about from the Consumer Electronics Show. So, Bob, let's go back to you, and we'll find out what's happening. And again, for our Dayton Ham Mention team, thank you for those great nominations and the winners of the Ham's Ham who really made a difference in ham radio.
That was great. I'm glad you got to spend time at CES. It's always a lot of fun to go there. A lot of work, though, because you got to travel so many miles on your feet.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Well, I have some pictures of what I've been doing and so on. But I tell you what, first, let's go see what's going on with Ting. Don's got some words about Ting.
Yeah, I'm looking at this book here, G-R-O-L. That's a four-letter word, growl. But I want to talk about another four-letter word, and that's Ting. Because everybody has a cell phone, and Ting is a great service. Ting is what's known in the business as an MVNO. That's a fancy. Let me put this bug down. I'll get some more studying here later on, because there's some heavy stuff there. You know, since I'm an extra, I need to be a radar guy one of these days. Ting is what's called an MVNO. That is, in fancy layman's terms, a reseller of the nationwide Sprint network. So you know it's going to be good. And also, Ting, the cool thing about Ting is there's no BS. Nothing's hidden from you. It's an unlimited, you can have unlimited devices on your plan, as many devices as you want on one plan, sharing the pooled minutes, messages, and megabytes. And every device on the plan just costs a flat $6 a month. And the rates just got better. Ting has gotten better prices from Sprint, and they want to share the savings directly with their customers. Nothing fancy, just better rates and lower monthly bills for all. If you've already tried Ting's savings calculator to see how much you could save with Ting, it might be worth doing another check and another calculation to see how much more you could be saving. And as always, Ting has no contracts, and you only pay for what you use each month with your megabytes, messages, and minutes all billed separately. Your voicemail, your caller ID, your tethering, your hotspot, three-way calling, call forwarding, other features are all part of the service. There are no add-on charges with Ting. And Ting is truly and completely contract-free. You'll find no early termination fees or other crud with Ting. They'll even give you a credit if you're paying an early termination fee to come to Ting. They'll give you 25% credit on your ETF up to $75 per device just for coming to Ting. All the details you'll find at ting.com/ETF. And Ting charges you for what you use, plus whatever taxes they're legally required to collect. There are no hidden charges, no recovery fees, none of that other BS. You take total control of your account, your usage, and your bills with a powerful online control panel. And should you ever need to talk to a human, they're just a few button pushes away at 1-855-TING-FTW. You can call anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and a real live, actual smiling person will pick up the phone and help you. And of course, you can always do it online as well at help.ting.com for active customer forums, a simple and powerful help ticketing system, video tutorials, video startup guides, and a whole lot more. Here's how it works, easy as it can be. First, you purchase your mobile device from Ting. You'll get that in 2 to 5 business days. Or you can bring over your favorite Sprint phone to Ting. You got an iPhone 4 or 4S? Yep, it works with Ting. See the full list of eligible phones by going to the show special URL and click on the BYOD link at the top of the page. Ting will even help you turn your old device into cash to help with the move to Ting. And after you activate with Ting, you'll have the option to select a new phone number or port your existing one. And then they will break your rates out by minutes, text messages, and megabytes of data, and you will get your bill at the end of the month for what you've used and nothing more. It's that simple. Hamnation.ting.com. You go there today, you'll save money, you'll better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Check out the savings calculator, see how much you or your company can save. And Ham Nation viewers also save $25 on your first Ting device when you sign up. Hamnation.ting.com. Start saving today. Cell phones are so ubiquitous. Everyone's got one. Everyone needs one. And, man, there's no reason why you can't save money with Ting. In fact, I'll give you a little unsolicited thing here. One of my Facebook friends Facebooked me a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, I just went with Ting, and I'm saving $150 a month. No kidding. So you got a phone? You need Ting. I got an extra, and I need my radar. Bob, you want to pick that up while I study?
Look out, Don. We're going to be back to you in a minute to learn about the news. I'm going to spend a couple of minutes to answer some questions with pictures about where I've been. First of all, we had a lot of fun at the NAMM show. That's a music trade show. It's 4 days of rugged work in 150,000 musicians and dealers and all that. But let's start with some of those pictures, Brian. Pop them up and we'll go from there. This is a friend of mine from Springfield. That's Tony Stubblefield. He's a BMW Lexus dealer. He'd never been to an In-N-Out Burger. He also collects guitars. So we brought him to the NAMM show. And the first thing we did, Gordo, is he's never been to an In-N-Out Burger, so I thought he should do that. So Tony Stubblefield has now lived. He's been to it, and he liked it. Of course, we all do. There's nothing better, okay? We moved on from there, and guess who? WB6ACW. Six nights at the Forum, the Eagles opened. The Forum was bought by Madison Square Garden recently, and they spent like hundreds of millions of dollars and restored the Forum, and the Eagles opened it six nights in a row, and they sold all 17,500 seats every night. And, of course, we always have such good time with Joe, and he's always asking how everybody at Ham Nation, he wants to come back and do another show, but he's so busy, and it always happens on Wednesday. There are either rehearsals or a show, whatever, but nice picture of Joe. He's in really good shape and playing like crazy. There's just a few. You can see it's dark underneath the stage where his guitars are during the show as they pick out each one for the song. I think he had somewhere around 25 of them for this show. Oh. And that's usual the case. You don't realize that every song's got a... There's the best seat in the house. Behind the mixing console, out in almost the back. It's just really the best seat in the house. I'm very blessed all these decades that I've been behind all these great musicians and their wonderful music to be able to mix all that. And that's J.D., their sound man, Mixie. We had a good time. Then we went to the Queen Mary for a dinner with the... some of the groups, and I stopped in, and son of a gun, the radio room was open, and here is Reggie, and of course, we've been there many times. Gordo, you were there when we kind of we sparked it up a bit, gave them a bunch of new microphones that we built for them, and they're still in great shape, but we really had a good time. Always do at the radio room. If you go to the Queen Mary, if you go to California, please take your license with you, and you can operate that historic station on the Queen Mary. And we have to stop at IKEA, Sarah's favorite shopping place.
Sarah.
We were on the way to Costa Mesa to see Gordo and Sue's, and of course, you Harbor and 405, guess what's there? So I had to take a picture just for kicks and grins. This is something that we did that I was not expecting. I've heard a lot about it, and I know the chat room's going to go nuts. Where have you been? We stopped in a Microsoft store at South Coast Plaza, and they had a 3D printer. I'd never saw one work. I was amazed. Sarah was holding this little rose that took 2 hours and 8 minutes to make. We got there just at the end of it, and I was fascinated. And you can't be without one of these things. Down through that tube is just a little plastic rod coming from a roll of plastic, and it just spins and spins and spins. And the first thing you know, you have whatever you had told it to do by your CAD drawing. I was just amazed. And we got to see it work, and there's the different colors of plastic that goes down, and it melts that and just spins and makes these models of anything. Boy, this is going to change the world, let me tell you, because tooling is extremely expensive. I know over the decades that we've been tooling and building things, it's just horribly expensive. Tooling for a microphone like this is $25,000 to $30,000, and you don't realize that. But with the MakerBot and all that, who knows where we're going? So I just thought we'd throw that in while we were here and show you some of the things we were doing. And again, Joe Walsh sends his best regards to everybody, and he does get to see the show occasionally, but so many of his hours are spent behind a mixing console with a guitar strapped on or in front of 17,000 people. But we have a good time when we're all together, and especially doing our job of making things sound better. By the way, somebody asked me in the chat room, I'm in Illinois tonight. That's why there's no gear behind me, because all the gear was moved out of here 2 years ago now, all down in the Springfield home. And I just brought along my little USB-Q and plugged it into the laptop, and that's what you're watching. I did bring my Logitech camera. That was too easy to do, but I'm really impressed with this. I have to say it was something I've always wanted to do, is to make decent sound from a computer. You can't do it. You buy these junky little USB microphones, and they sound like a tin can. And this one, you can use any really good microphone and plug it into but you have equalization. That's the best thing about this. I show you. I'm proud of this. It's something that took me a time to build, but I can take all the lows out and put all the highs in. I can take all the highs out, put all the lows in. You can equalize it, and that's something drastically needed when you're trying to get good sound out of a computer, and nobody has it. Well, now we do, unless you want to go a big mixer route, but anyway. That's the USBQ. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. We got to go back to Don because he has some news from Bill Pasternak's Newsline. So, Don, tell me what I've been missing while I've been gone. Still crap. Look at this.
You know what the best part about this book is? Let me show you. Look right there on the spine. What does it say here?
What does it say? Gordon West. I know that guy. Yeah, look at that. Gordon.
All the words are spelled right and everything.
How about that?
And there's pictures. God, I love it.
All right.
Let's get into the news. Well, I got more studying to do. Let's see what's going on. Just go on. Good. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1903, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, February 5th, 2014. An out-of-this-world DX receiving milestone for two hams in Europe. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Two hams have successfully heard signals from the European Space Agency's Rosetta Comet-Seeking Probe. The first was James Miller, G3RUH. He reports reception of Rosetta as it was at a distance of some 500 million miles from Earth. Miller accomplished this feat using the 20-meter dish at the United Kingdom's Bochum Amateur Radio Facility. Also successful in hearing Rosetta was Bertrand Pinel, F5PL, located near Castel Nuderi, France. F5PL accomplished this amazing space listening DX using only a 3.5-meter dish.
Talk about your rare DX. Rosetta's mission will be first to fly a series of observational maneuvers of Comet 67P before dropping a probe onto its icy surface in November. That lander will dig up samples and analyze them with its onboard instruments and radio the results back to researchers here on Earth. The up-and-down propagation of the current solar cycle continues, and now there's some important new information available for those on a DX quest. Amateur Radio Newsline's Norm Seeley, KI7UP.
Steve Nichols, G0KYA, the chairman, RSGV Propagation Studies Committee, has updated his high-frequency propagation prediction charts for the first quarter of 2014. This to take into account the latest predicted smooth sunspot numbers. It is generally thought that we may now be at or past the second hump of this sunspot maximum. But according to Nichols, the sun continues to throw some surprises. For example, the observed sunspot numbers for the last 6 months of 2013 were 57.0, 66.0, 39.9, 85.6, 77.6, and 90.3, which shows the great variation. The current predicted smooth sunspot number is about 61 to 62 for the next 3 months. That equates to a 10.7 centimeter solar flux index of about 110. A flux over 100 suggests that 10 meters will continue to open on a fairly regular basis, and over the next few months should throw up some good opportunities for DX on the higher bands. However, the long-term trend may be downwards.
Last week here on Ham Nation, Dan Van Evenhoven, N9LVS, presented a video that helped explain what those numbers and flux readings really mean. Click on twit.tv/HN and look for episode 132 to check that out. And the URL for that path prediction website we just showed you is www.voacap.com/prediction.html. Last week, we told you about Canadian hams gaining access to 5 megahertz or 60 meters. Now word that another country has joined the party. Cuba's Ministry of Communications has given hams in that island nation what amounts to strictly controlled access to the 5 megahertz or 60-meter band. The rules change was approved January 20th and gives Cuban novice-class operators a power limit of 50 watts, while high-class license holders can run up to 100 watts maximum power out in emergency conditions as needed for a reliable link establishment. Now, that seems to mean once any Cuban official declares any sort of a crisis situation exists, that all other operations must cease immediately, and the spectrum will be restricted for emergency communications only. But access to the new allocation by Cuban hams will not be immediate. Getting onto the new allocation will require a request to the related authority and the agency's approval before hams in Cuba will be able to fire up in the new spectrum, and no word as to whether this will be a spot frequency or continuous allocation. Over in Europe, Portuguese telecommunications regulator ANACOM has granted that nation's ham radio community the temporary use of 1850 to 2000 kilohertz in the 160-meter band, and this will permit Portuguese radio amateurs the ability to participate in more radio sports competitions during 2014. And finally this week, our friend Tom Medlin, W5KUB, best known for his Dayton and Huntsville HamFest live webcasts, wants to make you a star. Even if you can't make it to Dayton in person, you can be there virtually via Tom's webcast at W5KUB.com. Tom and his crew are looking for short video greetings, ideally in the 10-second long range, to play during the Dayton webcast. There are loads of variations possible, and you can make yours look and sound any way you want. Once completed, just email your video clip to Tom to videos at W5KUB.com. And hey, who knows? You may find yourself seen worldwide this Hamvention weekend over at W5KUB.com. Of course, if you're making the trip to Dayton, we'll see you at the Ham Nation booth in Audio Alley next to Heil Sound all weekend long and at the Amateur Radio Newsline Forum on Saturday, May 17th. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right, so Gordon's got me studying radar. Now, Bob, you've got, with your Joe Walsh guitars, you've got me all fired up wanting to figure out how to actually operate this thing. I think we ought to go to Dale and just see what's going on with the rest of the world and some of our video friends. So, Dale, if you're there, jump in and rescue me now, please.
Okay, Don, thank you very much. We'll have to listen for that guitar solo another time.
No, nobody wants to do that.
On the RNLI SOS weekend, and if we have time, building a new shack. First up, Bobby Hallicrafters. He's W6OZI. He has a fun trailer. Let's check it out.
Hi, I'm Gary Halverson.
I'm Caitlin Halverson.
This is Bobby Hallicrafters.
I'm Billy Yates, and welcome to another installment of California Hammock.
Steven!
Oh, good afternoon.
Hey, Bobby Hallicrafters.
This is GLH. Welcome to my shack. Let me give you a little tour. Come on in.
Oh, wow.
And you had mentioned also that you'll be running like a half a kilowatt on
That's
HF.
Right. Yeah, I'll be
all right. Life's too short for QRP.
This is where I started originally with some Drake gear that I acquired from a Silent Key.
You just crank it over to engage the right coil for the band that you're interested in. We're in the Gramps radio room, which is his 1921 operating position.
Wow.
Thanks, Bobby. Well, that's a great idea for other hams out there who have important videos they'd like to share with the Ham Nation audience. Even though they may be too long for broadcast here on Ham Nation, say 15 minutes or a half hour, but you want to get the word out, fire up some software like iMovie and put together a trailer. You'll send us a link then. We'll get that on the air for you. Thanks a lot, Bobby. Well, a few weekends ago, the Royal Navy Lifeboat Institute conducted its SOS weekend drill. Many hams in Great Britain participated. Here's one of our Hams Choice Award winners, Paul Johnstone, GM0KMG.
Hi, Ham Nation. This is GM0KMJ Paul. Welcome to the Royal National Lifeboat Institute's SOS Week from the four lifeboat stations round the Cumbrian coastline, Silloth, Workington, St. Bees, and Barrow-in-Furness. And welcome to GB1LBC, Silloth Lifeboat Station. All four stations are coordinated by Golf 7 Mike Romeo Lima Norman, with support from the Workington Amateur Radio Club and Furness Amateur Radio Society. Norman can be seen operating the station in this photograph. Working all four Lima Bravo Charlie stations qualifies for a special certificate. The lifeboat station at Silloth consisted of a large doublet antenna supported by the flagpole on the right, and the station setup consisted of a TS-590, an ACOM amp and Palstar ATU, with HRD supplying the logging software. Golf Mike Zero, Bravo Kilo Charlie Paul, operating the large pileup with a wonderful view of the Dumfries and Galloway Hills, seen over the Solway Firth in the evening light. The pileups were large, but we did manage to recruit a helper. 509 stations called in on that weekend. Sunday is drill day, and the volunteer lifeboat crew go out on exercise. The RNLI is a voluntary organisation and is purely funded by donation only. The craft that they use is of a rib construction and is Atlantic 25 class. The launch is underway now, going down the slip, nearly into the water now. The boat's just about afloat. It can be seen that the tractor unit is just about fully submersible. The engines are fired up and away she goes. The inshore waters of the Solway Firth are shallow and have rapid currents. The boat needs to be rapid, fast, manoeuvrable and reliable. The skill of the crew with the boat handling skills needs to be seen to be believed. High speed turns are carried out with precision, accuracy and some guile as well. The skill of the crew can be seen at all levels. Even the ground crew have got a big part to play in the team. The boat is being recovered from the water, put back on the cradle, nearly ready to come out of the water now. We're on the ramp and on the way out up the slip. The tides are big here and the water backs away a lot. We're halfway up the ramp now at this point. Recovery is well underway and we're nearly on the flat section towards the boathouse. As soon as the boat is recovered, it's all hands on deck to make sure that she's ready to launch at the drop of a hat. She's refueled, washed down with soapy water and hosed off, and of course you need a lot of power to make those high speed turns and ensure that you get to the incident as quick as you can for those at peril in the sea. The second crew consists of M0 Delta X-Ray Tango. Thanks for watching from everybody here at the RNLI station at Silloth. Special thanks must go to Norman, the coordinator, Workington Amateur Radio Club, Furness Amateur Radio Society, all the crew at Silloth Lifeboat Station, and my special thanks go to Paul, GM0BKC. All the best from everybody here at Radio Week. 7-3s.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Paul, and keep those great reports coming in. Paul sent an interesting side note to that report. During the weekend, he was operating, and he made contact with a doctor who was at the scene when his father drowned after a station lifeboat capsized in 1957. Oh, wow. It is indeed a small world. Well, James Whitehead, KK4JTW, just recently moved from a small 100-square-foot room to a 300-square-foot ham shack. In this video, he shows you how he did it.
Hello, this is Jim Whitehead, KK4JTW. This is the story of building a new shack. In the beginning, I was in just a small little bedroom. beginning at the end of 2013, I had an opportunity of building a new shack from scratch, from 100 square feet to 300 square feet. We put new windows in, ceiling fans, walls with insulation, additional insulation in the main walls. New electrical, a 240 connection for an amplifier in the future, air conditioning to keep cool, grounding, a way for all my antennas to enter the building. Two boxes that allowed me to combine antennas and keep the connections clean and dry. Protection for the antenna lines. Improving the match with my large high gain antenna. All my antennas. The new shack completed. Oh, wow. And works great.
Looking
that is nice.
Very I want to thank all my Elmers who've taught me so much, taught me enough to be able to build this new station. I want to also thank my wonderful XYL24 for all her support. I love you. And to Shiny for being at my side through all my radio adventures. 73 from Jim Whitehead. Thank you.
Well, thank you, James, great. And congratulations on that great new shack. I like all the big monitors there for digital operations also. Well, next week, another compilation of Show Me Your Shack photos. You still have time to get your pictures on next week's show. Just send them to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. Well, let's check out our club website of the week. It's www.weca.org. And this week, we feature the Westchester Emergency Communications Association website. www.weca.org. It was submitted by Bill Bonnenberger. He's KA2OFM. As Bill said in his nomination, the site contains a ton of information. And we especially like the large banner ad for Ham Nation at the top of the site. As you can see, Bob will be their guest via Skype at their next meeting. That's Monday coming up, February 10th. Check it out at www.weca.org. And thanks, Bill. Well, we'd love to show your photos and videos here on Ham Nation, too. Just send a link to your video or email your photos to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. Next week, another installment of Show Me Your Shack. And we have special coverage of the Puerto Rican State ARRL Convention from Angel Santana. He's WP3. GW. That's 30 for the Ham Nation video segment this evening. George is up next with Smoke and Solder. But first, let's check out this news from ICOM.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. You can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a buy direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible with the release of the ID-51A and the IC-7100 More people are getting on the air with its incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. Hurry, this BuyDirect promotion is good for a limited time. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and send it in by mail, fax, or email today. Find out what all the D-Star fun is about. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's BuyDirect program. And you can tune in and register to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. Throw your name in the hat, and you could win some great swag prizes from ICOMSwagStore.com. But there's also a grand prize every month. And the January grand prize winner was Corey Klumper, KD0QEA. He won the ICOM IC2300H. So congratulations, Corey. Ray and the ICOM group will be getting that out to you right away. And for February, the grand prize is going to be an ICOM IC80AD, the dual-band VHF-UHF handy talkie with 5 watts of power, D-Star digital voice, and wideband receiver and more. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after the show tonight and register to win. Well, you know, the last couple of weeks on Smoke and Solder, we've been talking about transmission line. So let's follow it up this week with something sort of related. For the last couple of weeks on Smoke and Solder, we've been talking about transmission lines. And this week, I thought it was only appropriate that we talk a little bit about connectors. The most popular connector used in amateur radio is the PL259 connector, and it's also called a UHF or Amphenol connector. Designed during World War II, this threaded RF connector was developed during an era when UHF referred to frequencies over 30 MHz. The connector was developed with the idea of a shielded banana plug. UHF connectors are generally usable through what is now known as VHF and HF frequencies and can handle RF power over 1 kilowatt. Different manufacturers use different dielectric materials, PTFE being the lowest loss. At low frequencies, the power handling is better than similar-sized end connectors. The PL259 connector is the most common connector used in amateur radio applications up to 150 MHz. In the U.S., a silver-plated version with Teflon dielectric is used in UHF applications up to 450 MHz for the 70-centimeter band. Even though it's called a UHF connector, it's rarely used in commercial applications for UHF frequencies, because of its non-constant impedance. The impedance drops between 30 and 40 ohms for about 1 centimeter near the center of the connector, so it creates significant reflections above 300 megahertz. The PL259 can be used with a larger diameter coaxial cable, such as RG8U and RG9U, and the smaller diameter RG58U and RG59U, with the UG175U and UG176U adapter sleeves. The female counterpart to the PL259 is the SO239, and the SO239 will also accept a 4mm banana plug. PL259 connectors have been replaced in many applications by other connectors that have a more uniform impedance, like the N connector and the BNC connector, but they're still widely used in amateur radio, CB radio, and marine VHF radios, where robustness and ease of use are more important than a small mismatch. The reasons for the popularity of the PL259 is it's easy to assemble. Crimp versions of the connectors exist, but the solderable connector is more common because no expensive crimping tools are needed. The PL259 connector is not weather-resistant by itself, so sealing it in a moisture-proof material is necessary when used outdoors. BNC connectors are ideally suited for miniature and sub-miniature coaxial cables like RG58, 59, 179, and 316. BNC connectors are made to match the characteristic impedance of the cable, and they're most commonly made in 50 and 75-ohm versions. The 75-ohm types can sometimes be recognized by the reduced or absent dielectric in the mating end, but not all manufacturers do this. The 75-ohm connector is dimensionally slightly different than the 50-ohm variant, but the two can be made to mate. The 50-ohm connectors are typically specified for use at frequencies up to 4 GHz and the 75-ohm version up to 2 GHz. Video, and particularly HD video signals and DS3 Telco Central Office applications primarily use 75-ohm BNC connectors, while 50-ohm connectors are used for data and RF. The different versions are designed to mate with each other, and a 75-ohm and a 50-ohm BNC connector will mate non-destructively. At frequencies below 10 MHz, the impedance mismatch between a 50-ohm connector or cable and a 75-ohm one has negligible effects. The end connector is a threaded weatherproof medium-sized RF connector used to join coaxial cables, and it was one of the first connectors capable of carrying microwave frequency signals. Originally, the connector was designed to carry signals at frequencies up to 1 GHz in military applications, but today's common Type N connectors easily handle frequencies up to 11 GHz. The peak power rating of an N connector is determined by voltage breakdown ionization of the air near the center pin. Typical manufacturer's curves for a new, clean connector with a perfect load with a VSWR of 1.0 give limits of approximately 5,000 watts at 20 MHz and 500 watts at 2 GHz. The end connector also comes in 50 and 75-ohm versions. The 50-ohm version is widely used for land mobile, wireless data, paging, and cellular systems. The 75-ohm version is used primarily in the infrastructure of cable television systems. Connecting these two different types of connectors to each other can lead to damage and intermittent operation due to the difference in diameter of the center pin. Unfortunately, many Type N connectors are not labeled, and it's difficult to prevent this from happening in a mixed impedance environment. The situation is further complicated by some makers of 75-ohm sockets designing them with enough spring to accept the larger 50-ohm pin without irreversible damage, while others clearly do not, and they expect users to keep the connectors separate. In general, a 50-ohm socket is not damaged by a 75-ohm pin, but the loose fit means the contact quality is not guaranteed, and that can cause poor or intermittent operation with a thin 75-ohm male pin only barely mating with a larger 50-ohm socket. One other type of connector you're likely to see is the SMA connector. That means Sub-Miniature Version A. It's popular on many of the new model of handy talkies, and this connector has a 50-ohm impedance and is designed for use from DC to 18 GHz, though some proprietary versions are rated up to 26.5 GHz. One thing to keep in mind, all connectors have some loss, so it's a good idea to minimize the number of connectors used in your transmission line where possible. This is not a big concern at HF frequencies, but it does become more important as frequency increases. I've talked about the different types of PL259 connectors and how to install them in previous episodes of Ham Nation. You can search the Ham Nation Wiki to find them. So there you go. The perfect thing to put on the ends of your transmission line. Well, last week I asked the question, is coax considered balanced or unbalanced transmission line? And I think most of you knew the answer to that, but I ask it anyway. And our winner is Fred, KC5RT. Fred is going to win this copy of Antenna and Transmission Lines, courtesy of our friends over at MFJ Enterprises. We'll be getting that out to you this week, Fred. And next week, I've got a new prize here, one we haven't looked at before. I was at the Jackson Capital City Amateur Radio Club's Hamfest here just a couple of weeks ago, and I ran into Don Keith, K4KC, and he's written a new book called Riding the Short Waves, Exploring the Magic of Amateur Radio. It's a great book. He's got a lot of nice stories in here about his different aspects of ham radio he's been through. A lot of good stories in there, some comments of things that he's heard. But it's designed for someone who's not a ham or someone who has been a ham but only worked VHF or UHF. Grab a copy of this book, and you'll be wanting to get on HF. Highly recommended. If you'd like to win that, though, you can send me an email and answer this. Why is it not a good idea to use PL259s for UHF? And if you were paying attention, you probably know the answer to that now. So send your your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be the winner of this great book from Don. Right now, though, let's go to another Don and get a message about DX Engineering.
Yeah, you know, another great book you might want to grab a hold of is this right here, the DX Engineering Catalog. They've got a whole section just on connectors and coax and stuff in here. So, yeah, good stuff. And it's not just parts. I mean, it's explaining some of the, you know, what you need to know to better utilize your ham radio stuff. And let's talk about DX Engineering. All the transmitting power in the world will not help you if you can't hear the person you're trying to contact. Answering the call for those looking for serious receiving improvements is DX Engineering. They've introduced two important products. The first is the RPA-1 receive preamplifier and the NCC-1 receive antenna variable phasing controllers. These help you increase your receiving capability so you will not miss your rare DX, even if it's weak signal stuff that you're listening to. The RPA-1 receive amp is the best low-noise preamp available. It's even better than most radio front ends. Features an advanced push-pull design that eliminates harmonic distortion. Also, high quiescent current helps preamp handle strong signals without overloading. That's important, and it's optimized for the entire 300 kHz to 35 MHz frequency range. Gives you the best possible results on HF, low band, shortwave listening, and even AM DXing. Yeah, there's still AM radio stations out there. Handcrafted to DX Engineering's rigid specifications, it's durable, its robust components ensure excellent reliability, just like everything else you'll find at DX. Superior dynamic range and third order intercept performance as well. And it is the perfect receive antenna for your receive antenna systems. It can be used with DX Engineering's receive antenna interface. And the preamp offers superior receiving results even when the bands are crowded. Now, the NCC-1, the receive antenna variable phasing controller, combines two identical receive antennas. It creates a virtual rotator directional setup. It's completely adjustable. You can change the pattern as if you were physically moving the antennas. Do it electrically. Unwanted noise can be nulled out. The desired signals can be peaked or enhanced. It really helps you in combating all types of directional noise, even QRM from some unwanted signals. The phasing effect works best when two identical antennas are used. The controller offers four main advantages. First, you can electronically steer your receive direction without actually physically moving the antennas. You can adjust the direction of either the null or the peak. The response can be changed from a null to a peak with a flip of a switch, and you can compensate for a less than ideal antenna setup, which means you get directional array features regardless of your landscape. DXEngineering.com has all the details on these great products. And if you want to grab any of this gear, you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. If it's in stock, DX Engineering will put it on a truck. It'll head your way tonight. Of course, weather permitting, there is some winter weather out there, but it'll go on the truck regardless. With proven products, expert advice, and the fastest shipping in the industry, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Get your own catalog or shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And DX Engineering, we thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. This is serious, serious reading. You really need to get a copy of that. And I think it's time, I think, now to head over to the chat room, isn't it? Cheryl, are you there?
I turned my back for 1 second and she dropped off. So I'll try and get her back on here.
Well, we'll just stall. Make up something, Gordo.
Yeah, all Gordo, right. Make up well, something.
Cheryl is going to be taking on a new role for the chat room, and that is you can send her emails as well as in the chat room, tell Cheryl about an upcoming ham radio event. Less than a month away, or if it's a real biggie, a couple of months away. And we'll talk about it right here at the end of each show. So if you've got a ham radio get-together occurring in your city or your state, let Cheryl know, and she'll pick the best of what she feels are the great ham shows and talk all about them in the chat room discussion. So in just a moment, Cheryl will be right with us. And this is Gordo, WB6NOA, and we're standing by. Incidentally, you see, I've got my ICOM 9100 back. I had to share it with George. He gave it a good workout. Now it's back here again, and in a few minutes, we're going to be on 40 meters, at least I will, on 72, 78 or thereabout, tuning in to all of our net control operators throughout the country. So we sure hope you'll join us. And boy, it sure is nice to get this one back. George, thank you for taking good care of this rig during your demo. Back to you, George.
Well, you're welcome, Gordo. And I'd like to have not got it away from my partner, Tommy, over here. He really liked that rig and wanted to keep it, but I got it back to you, so I hope you get many more years of service out of it. And did we get Cheryl back?
No, it looks like she's having issues with her Skype or something. She's totally okay. Offline right now.
Oh, no.
Well, she's got some heavy weather up there. So, George, I think it's almost time for us to put a wrap on the show. So we'll pass it all the way around. Gordo, we'll meet you on 72, 78 or higher or lower. And, George, where are you going to hang out tonight for after the show cast? Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to try to hang out there, too, as well, Gordon. And I'm going to be on 38.47. If we can't talk to Cheryl on Skype, we can talk to her on 75 meters. Also, Echolink, star, do drop in star, node number 355-800. And the D-Star net is going to be on reflector 14, module C. And it's cold down here, Gordo. I know it was cold out there. That's why I've got on the long sleeves tonight. I don't have all the headgear like you did earlier, but hey.
Roger that.
It's mighty cold for us Southerners, and I'll see everyone again next week. Not sure what I'm going to be doing, but we'll just have to tune in and see. Don?
Well, I'm gonna keep studying here, and you know, well, all work and no play makes Don a dull boy, so I might do this for a while too.
yeah, it could have been worse.
yeah. No. Not over here. All right. Well, thanks for watching, everybody. We all love you here at Ham Nation, and thank you for supporting us and what we do for you guys. And more power to the hobby of ham radio.
73.